Hi, I'm Antonia, and I'm a midwife.
Hi, I'm Micah, and I'm a midwife.
Hi, I'm Jane, I'm a midwife.
Hi, I'm Savannah, a student midwife.
Hi, I'm Lucy, and I'm a midwifery support worker.
Hello, my name's Gulbano, and I'm a midwife.
Hi, I'm Abby, and I'm a birth centre midwife.
Welcome to our August podcast. I'm Gemma Murphy, and it's been a very busy month with the RCM's Deliver a Decent Deal pay campaign still firmly top of the RCM's agenda. So if you want to know more about what's happening given the recent pay award announcement with your pay, this is the episode for you. I'm also catching up with the RCM's new director for field services, Lynn Collins.
Without our local activists, either in workplaces or in our branches, we could all just pack up and go home, because the strength of our union comes from our local activism, and we're just developing a long-term strategy that we're going to launch in January. Post-pandemic, what we've identified is that it's been really difficult to be an activist and for us as an organisation to support our activists during the pandemic. So we're going to kind of stop and restart.
Lynn will be sharing more on how activism at the RCM is being rebooted and hear how her and the team are working to strengthen activism at local level, in branches, where you work, right across the UK. Now here to discuss that below inflation pay award for midwives and MSWs in England that the RCM has described as completely unacceptable. All that, plus what's happening on pay in Scotland, Northern Ireland and Wales, it's Alice Sorby, the RCM's Director of Employment Relations. I'm delighted to be joined by Alice Sorby, our Director of Employment Relations. How are you, Alice?
I'm good, thank you, Gemma. It's nice to see you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Okay, the pay announcement is not what we've been campaigning for. It's not above inflation. Was it a shock?
So it was, yeah, I think it was a surprise and actually a huge disappointment. And, you know, this does not meet our ask. It is for most of our members who are at the top of band 6 or in 7, 4%, miles off inflation. Mm-hmm. And even for those in the lower bands who do better in percentage terms, you know, for maternity support workers, this is still a below inflation pay rise. And for midwifery managers, you know, those at the top of band AA, 2.6%, down to about 1.5 at band 9, you know, this is not good for them, especially when you consider that previous pay increases have capped at the top of the pay scale. So that those members at those levels haven't received as much of an increase as other members either. So it's not good. And it's nowhere near our ask.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because it was reported in the media in all different ways. And I read some reports that were saying members would be getting a 9.3% pay increase, which seems quite, you know, large. And it's almost 10%. It's touching what inflation is spiraling at. But at the bottom line, like you say, is for a long time, the RCM has called for an improvement in pay for those in the lower bands. But actually, that can't be at the expense of those in the higher bands, because those midwifery managers and those on band 8 have been holding services together, like really overstretched services, haven't they, over the last number of years. And I think Suzanne Tyler, our exec director for the trade union, described it as leveling down.
It is. And let's be absolutely clear, you know, everyone that works in maternity services, everyone that works in the NHS absolutely deserves a pay rise that makes them better off and not a pay cut. As you have just said, our members work many extra hours, often unpaid. Levels of stress and burnout are really high and workloads are extraordinary, really. All of our members deserve a decent pay rise. This isn't about pitting one set of workers against the other. This is about saying actually all of our members and all NHS staff deserve a decent pay rise.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things that's concerning the RCM, and we have spoken out about it this week, is that this pay rise is not going to be fully funded. It's going to be taken from existing maternity budgets. I mean, that's pretty shocking as well.
It is. So when the government put in their evidence to the pay review body, and they've made the 2-3% recommendation. The reason they made that recommendation, they said, was because that was what had been allocated in budgets through the spending review. So as you say, yeah, anything that is above that that was allocated in the budgets will need to come out of existing NHS budgets, which we absolutely do not support. We don't want to see money being taken from vital areas to fund this. The Treasury absolutely should be stumping up for any pay rise for NHS staff.
That's for sure. Now, immediately after the announcement on Tuesday, the RCM got their press response out, but we also sent an email directly to all our members in England. But can I ask you, for those wondering or those who haven't read those emails and not received them, what happens next, Alice? Can you explain the process?
Yes. Yeah, so what happens is the RCM board are actually meeting today, which is the 21st of July. And they will discuss next steps. Ultimately, this is a decision for the RCM board, who are obviously elected by our members. But in a nutshell, what we will want to hear from members. We will be coming to members to hear views on this. And I think what's really important is what we will want to know is the strength of feeling from members about this, because ultimately, for the board to make a decision later on proceeding to a formal industrial action ballot, that needs to be led by members, and that needs to be informed by what our members tell us over the coming weeks. So I think the really important thing that I would like to get across to members is come to us, get involved, respond to the survey that we put out, because we need to hear your voice and we need that to inform what the next steps are. You know, a union is all about the collective strength of its members, and the RCM will absolutely continue that campaign and represent members, but we need to really make sure that members are behind us. And that's the message that I'd really want to get across, and encourage people to talk to colleagues, share what the RCM say, make sure that your details are up to date, make sure you are receiving communication, because that puts us in a good position to hear from a lot of you over the summer.
Yeah, and we'll get to the ins and outs of a ballot and industrial action in a moment. So you mentioned the consultation. We've done this many times before, and we did it last summer as well. There's currently a consultation running with members up in Scotland, for example, isn't there? 5% was awarded there. And when we say a consultation, it's quite a quick survey for members to fill out, isn't it? It's generally 2 or 3 questions, takes only a couple of minutes, and we really can gauge your feelings from that.
Absolutely, yeah. I think we need to be so clear that what happens through the consultation that we're running in Scotland, which is on a pay offer for following negotiations, and this obviously in England is a pay award following a PRB process, so it will be implemented in England. But what we want is to get our members' views to inform the RCM about next steps. So that's different to an industrial action ballot. An industrial action ballot by law has to be sent through the post. So, you know, if that does happen in the future, you will be getting that through the post. That can't come via email. So no, our initial consultation periods, as you say, Gemma, quick, easy to respond surveys that is about getting your views and your strength of feeling, really.
And I guess, as you said, what's really important now is that members make sure we have their very most recent up-to-date details. So they log onto our website, they give us their phone numbers if they'd like to be contacted, their email addresses, if they've moved home or changed location, that we have their address so we can correspond with them when the time comes via post or email.
Yeah, and I think as well as those mailing addresses and communication addresses, what is also extremely important is us knowing your correct place of work, so your correct employer and your correct place of work. And I know, Gemma, you wanted to talk a little bit later about industrial action law, and one of the things that is really important under that law is that accurate information is held for members.
That's so very true. Yes, I did want to talk about the restrictions around going out on strike and taking industrial action, because it is a little bit more restrictive than it was a number of years ago, Alice. So I've seen from members' reaction on social media, on Twitter and on Facebook, they're asking really fair and valid questions like, what's the RCM doing? Why isn't the RCM striking now? Are the RCM going to take industrial action? And to a certain extent, that decision is ultimately our members' decision, right?
It is, exactly. So what happens is the RCM board ultimately will take that decision, but that is absolutely informed by what members are telling us. And it's totally fair when you see a pay announcement that is so undervalues NHS staff that you would be angry and you would say, what is our union going to do for us? But I think sort of understanding trade union legislation is quite important to understanding why we do what we do. And that is the Trade Union Act 2016 brought in really strict rules about turnout for industrial action ballots and about how it is lawful to take industrial action. So for a legal industrial action ballot, there is requirement for a 50% turnout, and in important public services, on a 50% turnout, you would need 80% support for industrial action. So that is big numbers. And I think that's why it's so key to know that the majority of our members do want us to progress and are angry about this, because ultimately, to go to a ballot, that is what is needed to be able to lawfully take industrial action. So that's why it's really important for us to hear from a huge number of our members over the coming weeks to tell us the strength of feeling out there, because our strength comes from our members, and absolutely we are led by what our members tell us. But we are operating within a system that makes it really difficult for trade unions to take action.
Yeah, and it's a legal system. It's the Trade Union Act from 2016. Yeah. It's much more restrictive, like you say. And I guess I'm just thinking about what you said earlier on in the interview. It's about talking to colleagues, isn't it? So, for instance, if you're really involved, you know, as an activist or within our trade union, and you believe that we should be taking action and you want to progress to a ballot, it's about talking to your colleagues. You know, if they're not branch members, everyone's really busy. We know how overstretched they are, but it's about spreading the word, isn't it? And uniting.
Definitely. We can and we will be putting out so many communications from headquarters. Email, text messages, all of that comes out. And, you know, our regional teams and organisers are really good at sharing things via like branch Facebook pages and things. But actually, what you can't be is members talking to each other. So please do that. And, you know, you might not be an RCM activist, you might not be a workplace rep, but you might be really passionate about the pay campaign. So tell us you want to get involved. We're going to be running some regional workshops later in a couple of weeks for people who are wanting to become active on pay, to kind of learn about how to have conversations with members about this, how to spread the word. So if this is what's putting fire in your belly, embrace that, get involved, tell us that you want to get involved, and start talking to your colleagues.
Absolutely. Now, before you go, because primarily we have just been talking about England and the most immediate pay announcement that has happened, we've touched on Scotland. It's fair to say that the Scotland consultation is going well, really great engagement up in Scotland. That's running until the 3rd of August. Is that right?
It is, yeah. So in Scotland, we're consulting on a pay offer. So the trade unions in Scotland with the RCM as well negotiated with the government. And what resulted in that was an offer of 5%. And as you say, we are consulting members on that at the minute, 3rd of August. The announcement won't be made until the 12th of August, because that's when all of the trade unions will come together and meet. But yeah, we're getting some good engagement. The reps in Scotland are doing a fantastic job of getting members to respond to that. It's really good. In Wales, so we are expecting some clarity for Wales any day now. So please, members in Wales, by the time you hear this, you will have had that information. But yeah, so the PRB had a remit for Wales, so we expect it will be a kind of within the sort of announcement from the PRB in England. In Northern Ireland, again, for our members in Northern Ireland, the lack of a functioning executive is meaning delays. So we have had confirmation that Northern Ireland would like to follow the recommendations of the pay review body, the same as in England. But on top of the fact that that is the same recommendation as England, so a below inflation pay rise for our members in Northern Ireland, again, there is going to be a delay because of the lack of a functioning executive. Yeah. So we, of course, are pressing in Northern Ireland and in Wales, and our officers there are really involved in any discussions, talks that do take place.
And like you say, you know, we issued a statement on the situation in Northern Ireland yesterday. Robin Swan, who's the minister there responsible for pay, said he doesn't actually have a budget yet. And like you said, that they're not sitting, it's not functioning, the executive. So I believe the RCM and other members of trade unions there have written to hold a meeting with the minister. So there may be something coming out of that in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. We will keep pushing, of course, in Northern Ireland. But yes, it's deeply frustrating because obviously it was the same position in 2018 as well in Northern Ireland. So yes, it's very frustrating for our members there.
Alice, thank you so much for your time this morning. I think this will not be the last time we speak about pay on the podcast over the coming months. It's been great to hear from you and all the immediate reaction. So important. Thank you.
Thanks, Gemma.
Now, things move very quickly at the RCM. So since my conversation with Alice for this podcast, the RCM has moved to consult with its members in England on the pay award. So they've launched the pay consultation on the 1st of August. It's set to run for 5 weeks until the 5th of September. It's so important that we hear the voices of all midwives and MSWs. The feelings of every member are so important because, as Alice said, this is an indicative survey. It only takes 1 or 2 minutes to complete it. This is not a ballot, but it will inform the next steps of balloting members to take industrial action. So the decision is in your hands and we need to hear from every single member. On the day we launched the consultation, you will have received an email with a link to a survey. If you've not received that email, check your spam, but also please ensure that you're registered and you've signed up to receive RCM emails, that your contact details are up to date and you've chosen the correct preferences. You can do all of that on our website. All you need is your membership number. Alternatively, the shortcut is, if you want to voice your opinion right now, go to our pay hub, which you'll see on the homepage of the RCM's website, rcm.org.uk. And again, you can take the survey directly from there. And for members listening in Wales, there's been a very similar pay award announced by the Welsh Government since we've recorded this podcast interview. The RCM in Wales has said midwives and maternity support workers are disappointed and angry. We have heard what you've said. We will now move to consult members in Wales as well. So again, please do ensure that your details are up to date so we can consult with all our members in Wales. Now, sticking with campaigning and all things trade union wise, it's time to meet Lynn Collins, the RCM's new director for field services. Welcome to the podcast, Lynn.
Oh, thanks for having me, Gemma. Really glad to be here.
I say that you're new to the RCM, but the role is certainly new. But I feel like we've been working together for months now because so much has gone on.
It's been a busy few months, hasn't it? I actually started in March. So since then, it's been absolutely non-stop. Lots going on, yeah.
We're going to get to all the work that's been done and how we've mobilised members, and you've been leading all that at the TUC's rally and other festivals. But first, I want to hear a little bit about your background. So you previously worked at the TUC, which, of course, the RCM's affiliated to.
Yeah, that's right. So I began life as a computer scientist way back in the 1980s. And I was a union rep for scientists and technical staff at the time. Mm-hmm. And then took up a job with the Society of Radiographers in the early 1990s when negotiations were starting with NHS Trust Hospitals. And I spent the last 30 years, 15 of them working for NHS trade unions, and the last 15 working in leadership roles in public sector trade unions. And as you say, my last 9 years were as regional head of the TUC in the Northwest. So that gave me a chance to work with 48 different trade unions and find out what their issues were, support them in their campaigns and activities, and understand what similarities they have and also kind of what differences they have.
Yeah, because it's the differences that sometimes we have to get over. And I get that myself working with other trade unions, even other health unions, you know, with different priorities and different types of membership as well. And I think that's the key, isn't it, in trade unionism, to kind of bring everybody together, because there's strength in numbers.
There is, absolutely. And also to learn the best of other organisations, but also recognise your own uniqueness. Every trade union has its own structures and its own ways of working. And that's really important, because that's why members join that union, because they have an affinity to it. And for a union like the Royal College of Midwives, which is also a professional body, it's really important that we speak in the language that our members understand, and we share our experiences, both professional and trade union. But there's so much we can learn from other trade unions as well, because there are other single profession unions out there who are fighting and campaigning on similar issues and on different issues. So I think probably over the last 3 or 4 months, I've spent quite a bit of time saying, well, do you know what the fire brigade union do? And you know what the physios union do? Just to bring those kind of examples into the Royal College of Midwives to see if they fit and can help us deliver a better trade union service to our members.
Yeah, that's right, because we have to keep improving at least and strengthening our trade union side. And Suzanne Tyler, the exec director for our trade union, was on the podcast back in May, and she spoke about your post, you know, the director of field services being the first of its kind. Can you tell me, like, we're going to get to what you've been doing, but what are your real aims, Lynn? Because you've got such a wealth of experience in field services and activating activists.
Yeah, it's a really exciting role. One of the reasons I applied for it, it's got all the lovely bits of trade unionism that I've enjoyed over the last 30 years, all wrapped up into one role. So I work directly with our regional heads and our regional teams of officers, and they're out there on a day-to-day basis, meeting members, supporting members, representing and negotiating on behalf of our members. We've then got our organisers based in our regional teams and work really closely with them. And they are the cradle to the grave organisers, if you like, in terms of Royal College of Midwives members. So one day they might be in talking to first year students, then they might be working with early careers midwives, then they might be recruiting reps and activists in departments and supporting them. So all of that's rolled into this role. We do lots of support around our recruitment and retention policies, so looking at how we can best attract members to the RCM and keep members in the RCM with the way in which we operate and the things that we do for members. I look after legal services as well. Now everyone hopes they'll never need the legal services that the Royal College of Midwives offers, but there's really important legal services out there. If you ever are referred to the NMC, we can support you with that. If you have an accident at work, there's support for members. So we look after our legal services, and we work really closely with Thompson Solicitors to provide a whole wealth of different services. But there's also been lots of getting stuck in internally in the Royal College of Midwives as well. That, do you know how other people do it stuff I was talking about earlier, and really just sharing experience. And it's been a really welcoming organisation to learn from that experience. So yeah, it's been a few months, but it feels like longer, but in a good way.
Yeah, no, it certainly does. You've really made an impact. Like, just to say, in June, obviously we mobilised our members for the TUC rally on the 18th of June. You were there on the day, and the scenes were incredible. We had all our new branding, and we got lots of media attention. What was that like, standing shoulder to shoulder with our members?
Oh, it was a great day. It really was. Now, I've been on lots of marches over the years, and sometimes they can be a bit, you know, miserable, because we're usually opposed in something or saying no to something. But I felt the spirit of solidarity from the members who were there, and it was a really quite uplifting experience. And one of the things I really noticed as someone coming into the organisation new is, as we walk through central London, It was the Royal College of Midwives that got the rounds of applause off the public as they were standing by. And I know many of the members who joined the march said that was a real shot in the arm for them at a time when they're under so much pressure at work and they feel so much pressure on them to deliver. It was a real shot in the arm to see that public support. And we had a great day. We had an enormous inflatable balloon, thanks to the comms department, which we carried through the streets, so you could not miss us. And I think that will be the first of many demonstrations, campaigns and events that will bring RCM members together on. We followed it up very quickly with London Pride, and we've just come back from the fantastic Tolpuddle Martyrs Festival in Dorset, where our Dorset branch have attended every year. But we went down to support them this year, and we had a number of midwives staffing a stall at the festival. And again, a really interesting and uplifting experience. We had young people come in to inquire about midwifery as a profession, and that's great, because sometimes we think we might have turned everyone off working in the NHS. We had people coming up and saying their relatives were midwives and they were delighted to see the stall there. We had members approaching us saying they were really pleased that we were there. And again, we joined the procession through the village of Tolpuddle on the Sunday afternoon, and were applauded as we went past the locals sitting out in their gardens and on their doorsteps. So again, a real shot in the arm for the members who came down to celebrate trade unionism.
That's the thing, isn't it? When I've been on marches before over the years, you know, midwives and maternity support workers are really loved and valued by the public. They're held in quite high esteem. And I think often if you're a member and you're working and like you said, you're under pressure, you might not see that. So it is nice to get together with colleagues from other parts of the UK and kind of feel that kind of solidarity and the love coming from other places. I saw some pictures of Tolpuddle, and I saw the Dorset branch had the brand new branding, and they had their own individual Dorset branch branding. Is that right?
They did. They had a banner made for it. They had a stall. They created some activities for young people and children to get involved in to highlight midwifery as a profession. So they did a fantastic job. And Gilly from the branch has been going to Tolpuddle every year and doing that. So I know that our president next year is really keen to join the branch down at Tolpuddle. So we'll be making sure that we're there again next year and that we do go out and celebrate our organisation as much as campaign on behalf of it. It is about celebrating, because I know Gilly, who spoke at one of the fringe meetings at Tolpuddle, talked about some of the problems that midwives and midwifery is facing at the moment. But she finished her contribution with saying, I would never do anything else other than be a midwife. It's the best job in the world. So celebrating that from time to time really is that kind of lift that we all need.
And absolutely. And you know what? Her saying that is so reminiscent with what I've heard other people say. Even though they are pushed to their limits and so overstretched, they are staying in maternity services because midwives love being midwives and looking after and caring for women. We just need more of them, don't we? So they're not under so much pressure. In terms of activists, they are obviously so central to what the RCM does. If someone's listening now and they're thinking, I like the sounds of getting involved with the RCM as an activist, what kind of roles are there, Lynn, that people could pick up, like that they don't traditionally think are steward roles within branches?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Without our local activists, either in workplaces or in our branches, we could all just pack up and go home, because the strength of our union comes from our local activism. And we're just developing a long-term strategy that we're going to launch in January. Post-pandemic, what we've identified is that it's been really difficult to be an activist and for us as an organisation to support our activists during the pandemic. So we're going to kind of stop and restart. So we're calling it reactive. And the purpose of reactive is to say there's a role for everyone within the Royal College of Midwives. We've developed what we call our ladder of engagement that says, when you join and take that first step on the ladder, we want you to become an active member. So the first thing people can do at local level is be an active member, get involved in your local branch, read the newsletters that you get from the organisation, sign up for the local WhatsApp groups with your local representatives in your departments, and be an active member. And if you want to do something more, there's plenty of roles that you can take on. There obviously are the identified workplace roles, so that's a workplace rep, a health and safety rep, or a learning representative in the workplace. But our branches would be really glad of anyone who wants to come into activism. So whether you want to kind of help organise a study day for newly qualified midwives, or you want to get involved in International Day of the Midwife, or you want to get involved in Student Appreciation Day, or just put on a social event so that midwives can come together socially and talk about their issues, just knock on the door of your branch and they'd be very, very glad to hear from you.
You know, I spoke to a midwife recently and who is now an RCM steward, but she was saying to me, for years she wasn't a steward, but she was just one of these real kind of caring, considerate colleagues who had time. She was always supporting people. And somebody came up to her and said, you're behaving like a steward. What you're doing is the work of a steward. Like, do you have the time? Can you come to the branch meeting? And she did. And 8 years later, she's never looked back. So often people are already kind of acting like stewards. They're supporting colleagues. They're coming up with ideas to help staff cope with the pressure. That is activism, isn't it?
Absolutely. And every midwife has those skills because they're midwifery skills. And every MSW has those skills because they're caring skills. It's about listening to people. It's about encouraging and empowering. It's about negotiating skills, coaxing skills. It's about fairness. It's about justice and equality. They're all things that are intrinsic to the role of a midwife and a healthcare worker. So those skills are all there. We often think we haven't got them. I suppose my role and the role of the RCM nationally is to help bring out those skills in people. And we do that through things like our activist training program, which we're just about to do a big review of and look at how we can better support our activists locally and develop things like webinars. Now we've all learned to work online. Yeah. It gives us an opportunity to do even more to support our reps and activists and members at local level. So the skills are all there. I've worked in lots of trade unions with different gender balances. Men often just recognise they have these skills, even if they don't. Yeah. Women who have the skills often don't recognise they have them. Our role is to really just empower and support our reps, activists and all our members, from students right through to head of midwifery, to make sure that they're an active member of the organisation, they contribute to the organisation. And if they do that, the organisation can authentically speak on their behalf.
Yeah. And like you say, obviously, you're looking at the programmes for training. You don't just become an activist and it ends there. We have great training at the RCM. You go away on residentials. There's protected time, isn't there, when you become a fully fledged rep. And there will be a series of posters being quite visible, as well as actually RCM organisers, because I think you touched on it there, saying we've done brilliantly embracing virtual events and engagements. But now, you know, COVID's kind of going away. I say that loosely because there are some cases at the moment. You are going to see more RCM reps and organisers back in the workplace, and that's where they want to be.
Absolutely. It's been a real frustration from our regional teams to not be able to come out and support members face to face over the last couple of years. They are chomping at the bit to get back in to work with reps and activists at local level to build our union at local level. And my goodness, we need it. We've got loads of challenges ahead. You've talked already about pay. There are a whole load of issues around workloads, stress. Oh, there's so many to mention that I know you've covered in previous podcasts. We absolutely need activism at local level to be strong, vibrant and vocal. And we'll do whatever we can in our field teams to support local reps and activists.
Fantastic. Lynn, I think we've talked as much as we can for today, but I know you won't be short of things to tell me about your team are doing over the coming months. So thanks so much for your time on the podcast and we'll chat again.
No problem. And if any branch or workplace want to invite me out, I'm more than happy to come out and speak to branches and speak to reps and activists. So really looking forward to doing that as well. So thanks, Gemma.
Brilliant. Thanks, Lynn.
A big thanks to Lynn and Alice. I hope you found what they've said interesting and informative. If you'd like to share your story, please email me media@rcm.org.uk. I would love to speak to more members about the current realities that you are facing in the workplace. Finally, I wanted to mention with the cost of living growing, there is something that as an RCM member, a midwife, a maternity support worker, a student member, that you can get for absolutely free. Now, you may not have heard about it. Well, that's a ticket to the RCM's annual conference. It's absolutely free if you're an RCM member. This year, our conference takes place across 2 days, the 4th and 5th of October in Newport in Wales. This will also be the first in-person, physical, face-to-face annual conference in 2 years since the pandemic. The programme looks fantastic. The sessions will focus around the theme for this year, which is recover, reflect and renew, which sounds just about right given everything that maternity services and maternity staff have been through over the last number of years. And there'll be discussions of how to set the course for maternity services now and in the future. Register to attend for free now on the RCM's dedicated conference website, rcmconference.org.uk. That's rcmconference.org.uk. Get your ticket and we'll see you in Newport on the 4th and 5th of October. Thanks for listening, and until next time, take care.